no-hitter.
Every White Sox game.
Give me the hot sauce.
Every Bulls game.
GWG.
Every Blackhawks game. It's all here.
Make sure you guys tune in.
It's only here on NBC Sports Chicago.
On this edition of the Cubs Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide, Gordon Whitmire and I debate the value of Chris Bryant now that he's NL Player of the Week and off to a better season than he had when he was the MVP.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
At Wintrust, we know true fans show their team pride every chance they get. With Cubs checking, you'll score a Cubs debit card so you can show your support every time you pay. Open today at Wintrust.com/CubsTalk. $100 required to open. Member FDIC.
Let's play two.
Back! Run! Run! High!
Way back! It might be! It could be! It is! Holy cow!
The fly! He scores! Cubs win!
Ball! Game! Over! Cubs win!
Hey, welcome in to another edition of the Cubs Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide, with Gordon Whitmire and our great producers, Tony Gill and Joe Collins. I'm David Kaplan. All right, Gordo, Chris Bryant, you kept preaching. App, relax. If he's healthy, he will be really, really good. He's healthy. He's better than really, really good. He's the reigning NL Player of the Week. What are you seeing from Chris? Because I see a guy who looks to me, and I had a current major league scout say to me, watch his lower half. His back feels better. His shoulder stays closed. They said his wrist is obviously healed. He looks like taking a violent swing as opposed to what he did when he was injured. What do you see?
I totally agree with that. I would also say, now, just keep this in mind. He said just a couple of days ago, I haven't changed anything. And so I've said all along since 15 or 16, this guy's your best hitter on this roster. I've said it and written it. I can't count the number of times, even when
and
he's been on the DL.
I agree with you the whole time. You're right.
He's their best hitter, and it's a matter of him being healthy. So number one, that's the difference. But I've also seen what I think is not quite the pronounced launch angle swing, the uppercut. It's not quite, it's still there. It's not going to go away. Everybody's swing is uppercut, but it's not quite as pronounced. And maybe that's some of what we're seeing, because obviously pitchers nowadays pitch more to that. So there might be some adjustments going on there, despite what he says, but he's definitely clearly healthy. His bat speed's there. All parts of his body are in sync. He's handling fastballs and breaking balls. That grand slam he hit, he took a fastball that was probably low in the zone and then got a breaking ball that came across the inside of the plate. And that's what he hit for the grand slam in Atlanta a week ago. So he's handling all kinds of pitches. And he's the one guy in this lineup who's handling good pitching too. So it's exactly what the scouting report has always said on this guy when he's been healthy.
So as you look at where he is today, and again, a month does not mean a season. He's got to prove he can stay healthy, play through the nagging injuries, and put up the numbers if he wants to get paid, commensurate with Nolan Arenado and Anthony Rendon and others of his caliber. Do you think the Cubs at this point today are revisiting in their mind, if not with his agents, hey, let's talk about an extension, or they still want to see more?
Oh, I think that, this is confirming what they already know, the same thing that we're talking about that we know. It doesn't change a lot of the calculus. I had a talk with somebody in the front office about some of the discussions that they were having not too long ago, or very early in the season, before anybody had really established any trends yet. And the feeling was that the organization was well aware of just how good Chris Bryant was and was kind of puzzled by all the criticism he was getting from the outside, how easily he dismissed he seemed to be by not only some people in the media, but fans. And they thought that was almost laughable. And then sure [S2] Yep. [S1] Enough, he gets healthy and here he is. So I do think that organizationally in that front office, they have always recognized his value, certainly his value when healthy. So I don't know that all changes. We do know that there's some ownership level pressures on the finances. And that's going to play a part in it. We know that there's two other guys that are short timers that are free agents at the end of the year that are core guys, Javi Baez and Anthony Rizzo, who are high on their priority list to see if they can get a deal done with. So I don't know that a whole lot changes, but I do think that conversations will certainly be had between now and the time that he's ultimately traded. And I phrase that purposely because I think ultimately that is the direction this is going to head.
Okay, so if he is indeed going to be traded, the longer you give another team the services of Chris Bryant, the more you will get back.
I know where you're going with this. I know where you're going.
Plus, how yes, you do. It's how desperate the other team is. And there's a team 7 miles to the south of Wrigley Field, the Chicago White Sox, who entered this season with legitimate World Series aspirations to win a title.
You know, they could look out their window and see a couple of his home runs flying out of the ballpark. That's how close they are.
And they lost Eloy Jimenez probably for the season. They just lost Luis Robert for 12 to 16 weeks.
Maybe the season.
Right. They're going to go back and re-examine with another specialist who may say, you need surgery, young man. Then his season's done. And Adam Engel's back to square one. Another starting caliber outfielder, fourth outfielder. Like, they're really hurting. So,
and by the way, what do we know about our third baseman, Chris Bryant? We know that he has started in right and left multiple times this year. And yesterday, before that game was rained out, he was the starting center fielder. And he does it well.
Okay, so here's the point. They've got Moncada at third. They need a right or left fielder, and Chris Bryant fits the bill. So if Rick Hahn picked up the phone and said, okay, Jed, I'm desperate. You were in my position several years ago. You paid the price and you won a World Series. I want Chris Bryant. I want him now. I don't want to wait. Does Jed call up Scott Boras, Chris Bryant, Jessica Bryant and go, hey, before I do anything, I've gotten calls. Here's what I can pay you. Or does he absolutely, Rick, I'm in. Done deal. Let's do it. I want Michael Kopech and I want a prospect. Do the White Sox say yes? Do the Cubs say no? What do you think?
I think that the scenario you set up, you do both. And what I mean by that is Chris Bryant has meant so much to this organization from the day he was drafted second overall. And the relationship is so good, especially with Jed. We've heard Chris talk about that openly, that you don't go down the road of that deal without keeping all parties apprised of what's going on as it's happening. And so I do think that not only do you make that phone call to let them know what's up, but you say, hey, before I do this, I do value you enough. I'd like to keep you depending on what we might be able to get done. Now that said, I don't think they're not going to go all in. And I don't think it makes any sense to say, well, let's start an elongated negotiation because that conflicts with the point of whatever the, you might want to do with the White Sox. But, you know, if it looks like something could get done, then maybe. I don't see that happening. I don't see that going anywhere. I do see the phone call being made. So, but I think at the same time, you tell Rick Hahn, you're damn right, we're interested, let's talk, but you're going to have to pay a price, because not only are you getting the player of the week and guy that was probably the second or third in balloting for player of the month, the guy that looks better than he did his MVP year, but you're getting him for a lot longer than 2 or 3 months, like you would if you made this trade in July. So this could pull your season offensively out of what could be the crapper. So yes, I want to hear your best offer fast.
So do you think the White Sox would say yes or no if the ask was Jonathan Stever, a very good minor league pitching prospect, and Michael Kopech? We want one major league guy, one minor league guy, and you can have them. What do you think the White Sox say to a deal like that?
I think they have to think about it because they do have some pitching to work with. I don't know if they'd give up Kopech without a fight, without some hard negotiations. I'm not even sure he'd be the best fit on the north side. And keep this in mind too, when it comes to what the Cubs think they have coming, they actually think they have some pitching coming for the first time. And there's just enough glimpses of it so far in Adbert Alzolay and Justin Steele, for that matter, in a couple of two or three really nice outings so far in relief. They've got some nice arms they're developing. Keegan Thompson is a guy that was called up to start one of those doubleheader games on Tuesday. And so they think they've got some pitching coming. So that need might not be as desperate as it would have been. Like, for instance, the last time these two teams made a trade, right, when they desperately needed a starting pitcher and your favorite all-time Cub, Jose Quintana, came to the north side. So they might need some hitting back in that deal as much as anything. Maybe throw Andrew Vaughn in that deal.
Okay, so if a guy like Andrew Vaughn was included in that deal and it's not Michael Kopech or Dylan.
Or better yet, little Cespedes.
Yoelki Cespedes. But let's assume it's him and a minor league pitching prospect. They're both unproven. Andrew Vaughn has at least reached the big leagues. But if you bring Andrew Vaughn in, you're basically closing the door on Anthony Rizzo, correct?
You know, possibly. I mean, I don't know. You've also got a DH that's imminent coming into the National League at some point. So there might be room for both if you believe enough in his bat. And Anthony Rizzo might not be a long timer, even if you do extend him. Who knows what that extension might look like. So you've got that too. I do think this though, Cap, as you look at a trade like this, if you like the package enough, you don't necessarily have to get a big leaguer back. You do have to get somebody you believe a lot in, ranked prospects, unlike that Darvish trade where you got just a bunch of teenagers who look pretty good for teenagers, but God only knows what they're going to be, you know, when they're 22, 23. If you've got somebody who's 21, 22, pretty good double-A prospect that you have an idea is tracking well, some guys like that that have some pedigree already building up, then maybe you could do something like that. You don't necessarily need that big leaguer back. This team isn't going anywhere this year. So I think you can – once you decide you're trading Chris Bryant, whether it's now or in July, you've decided – you know, the white flag is up on this season and you're building for something, whether it's next year or the year after.
So as you look at this team, and I'm with you, you're not competing for a championship this year. You are simply treading water, trying to get the value of whatever guy it is you're going to trade up as high as you can and then move on it. We don't see an industry on a yearly basis paying big prices the first week in May to get a star. It's always,
we don't see trades in May. I mean, by and large, we don't see trades at all in May, but this is a different situation.
Agreed. when do you think that, I think privately, upper management, Jed, Tom Ricketts, whoever, the Ricketts family, I think privately, they know what's coming. They're not stupid. When do you think they start to move guys along because they want to get the biggest package to rebuild as fast as they can?
January 29th. That's when they moved Darvish. I mean, that's when the sell-off began, you know, for whatever you want to say happened in between. You know, they went out and added on a one-year contract, Jock Peterson plus an option. They added Arrieta on a one-year contract plus an option. They got a 1 year on Trevor Williams. Those aren't roster building, window building moves. The sell-off has already begun. And if your ownership at this point, it's clear the sooner the better you can dump a higher prorated value of salary, do it. So I guarantee you ownership would sign off on this right away. It's just a matter of the bigger question would be, do you sell this early? Even if somebody comes knocking on your door, how serious are they? How aggressive are they going to be? Because you're talking about a one team market at that point. You know, there's nothing, you can't play their offer off of somebody else's offer. They have to come in all in, or you almost by definition can't do the deal. You have to wait for a market to develop otherwise. Unless you don't believe that Bryant is going to hold his value into July, that you see some reason to think that he won't keep the numbers up. But I don't know anybody who doesn't think he's perfectly capable of continuing to put together a very strong season.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to watch, because as I was on vacation last week and I'm still watching the games on my iPad and I'm watching Chris, and I said to my wife, okay, it really breaks my heart that this guy looks better than 2016, and I fully believe they're gonna end up trading him. Like, he really, really looks good. It will be sad if he's moved, but if I'm Jed, if I'm convinced I gotta move him, the faster you can do it, the bigger the haul, the better for the rebuild.
Yeah, and let me throw something else in too. He got better in 17. Some of the numbers were down, power number were down. His strikeouts were way down. His walks were up. His overall, his OPS, his on base, and a lot of the peripheral numbers were better in 17. He became a better hitter, a better player. He's become a better fielder over the last few years. And by 19, before he got hurt near the end of the season, his trend line was that he was getting better. He was becoming a better player since his MVP season. And what he's done this year since getting healthy is pick up where he left off the last time he was healthy. This guy, this is who he is at this point in his career. And how long that lasts until, you know, the natural aging begins to affect. He's still in his 20s. How long that lasts, I don't know. 3 more years, 5 more years, I don't know. But he is a better player now than he was as an MVP in 2016. And he is, I would say, he's way better in the field. He's a better third baseman. And he's far more comfortable at all three outfield spots. This guy's a really, really nice player. In fact, the more I'm talking, if I'm Jed Hoyer, if this is Jed Hoyer talking, I'm talking myself into, I wonder how much I can afford to offer this guy. Because he'd be pretty damn close to an ideal guy to sort of help build that next window around. I just don't see the appetite for it up the ladder to pay what he's going to command.
Let me leave you with this. If I'm the White Sox or the Yankees or whoever it is, the Dodgers, pick a team that might have a need, that has had to deal with some injuries. I've got it. My scouts tell me that guy's back. He's healthy. I got to go get him now before he gives Jed 60 days, 90 days of data, and is still performing at this level, and he's suddenly off the market. That's where I'm talking. If I was another team, if I believed in the guy I'm seeing now, truly, I'm picking up the phone and going, let's get it done. What's the price? I'm in.
Look, man, if the Sox are serious, if this idea of they think they can win a World Series this year that they talked about all through spring training and into this season, if they weren't blowing smoke, then Chris Bryant's the guy you should go all in on right now and see if you can get him. I don't know if that can happen. It's such a rarity for any trade of any substance to happen in May anyway. For one this big to happen would be extremely difficult to pull off, just extremely rare, put it that way. But it could be that the stars are aligning. If the White Sox are serious and if they were to go all in, if they were to make a heavy hitter offer, who knows?
Completely agree. Gordon, always a lot of fun, man.
All right, Kep, welcome back, man.
Good to be back. It was a fun break with my wife, and now let's grind it and let's see where this thing rolls, all right?
All right, man, take it easy.
That's the great Gordon Wittenmeyer joining me from Wrigley for Tony Gill and Joe Collins, and then a future edition of this podcast. We got to get Tony Gill on because he's a diehard White Sox fan and get his thoughts on what he would pay in a Chris Bryant trade. But for now, we'll wrap up this edition of the pod telling you it's brought to you by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. For Gordon, Tony, and Joe, I'm Cap. We'll see you next time.